T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I kind of look at that more of a, I don't know what it is necessarily. I mean, maybe he's a better pass blocker. Maybe it's the experience factor. I will tell you this. He has not lost a fumble this season. And so he's got the ball security and experience in his corner. But you're right. Mostert is, he's been the biggest surprise on this team, I would say, this year, just for how well he's flourished as a running back. I mean, it's been great.
Cam, of the three possible opponents the 49ers can face, best matchup versus worst matchup of Minnesota, Philly, and Seattle. What would be the best? What would be the toughest?
I haven't really thought about it too much, but I would say I don't think it's a lock Seattle comes back and plays the Niners. I think they have a very bad offensive line, and I don't think their defense is very good. And to head out there to Philadelphia, that's a long trip. And I don't think Philly's great. I mean, they're missing Ertz and a lot of their wide receivers, so that doesn't bode well for them. But I think Philly might be the one that's coming out to play the Niners. I mean, I don't like Minnesota's chances in New Orleans at all. I think Minnesota's okay. I don't think Kirk Cousins – I don't think we should write off Kirk Cousins in a big game, but I think the Saints are just a powerhouse. I think the Saints should roll them. So I think you go back to it's Philly or Seattle. And if I was the Niners, I would like Philly, because I think Philly, if they get by that game and, like, prove everybody, look, ha, we can win a playoff game, they might let their guard down a little bit rather than get on, like, that role that they did a couple years ago with Nick Foles. And I think they might just be going, okay, well, we made it, we got our one playoff game and we can rest. Whereas if Seattle won, Seattle's going to have that momentum. They're going to be fired up and say, now we deserve to win that last game against the Niners. Now we're going to beat them again. Although I think the Niners can beat any three of those teams.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Cam. Hey, Cam, thank you so much. Have a great New Year's Eve, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year's Eve to you and everybody out there.
Yes, sir. Right. Thanks. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, covers the 49ers, and has done so for coming up on two decades. Seattle, I mean, I guess if I think the 49ers, like, I would bet on them right now to cover their first playoff game.
No matter the opponent.
Yes. Wow. Yes, I would. I think they're better than the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks, to think that the Seahawks are going to come into Levi and win again, can they? Yeah. I don't know. I just think that win Sunday, the bye is what I think is the most meaningful thing. And people might say, well, no kidding. But it also gives you a week to get over the emotional win. Like, for example, if the 49ers had to win that game to make the postseason, I would not like their chances next week or this upcoming week in a game. But to me, it's like you proved you can beat them and you have a week off. I just see a team coming in here limping as the 49ers are basically at, I don't know if they're going to be at their healthiest, but they'll probably be the healthiest they've been in the second half of the season.
And let's put this rat on the table. I mean, winning that game, getting the bye is winning a playoff game. Like, getting the, you know, I've always equated it to that, and I get you can't,
right,
you know, specifically, it's not like you're going to give Jimmy Garoppolo a playoff win, but if you play well enough to get a bye, that means, in my mind, you won a playoff game.
Right, right.
Especially when you look at the way the 49ers did it down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Tracy. What's going on, Tracy? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm going to tell you this, man. I was a long-term Dallas fan back in the day. I'm a convert now. And everybody keeps on saying, what if? If was a fifth, we all be drunk. If you a Niner fan, get on board. They killing it. The defense is awesome. And I'm telling you, man, I feel they can do it. So let's roll, man. You know, if my aunt had balls, he'd be my uncle. Stop iffing it. They doing it.
All right. it's not fun to try to figure out who they're going to play. I mean, I get it. I think he can beat all three teams, but each of the three present a different challenge. And the Seahawks are the Seahawks, and you know, the Eagles are probably a team that the 49ers feel like they're better than. The Vikings, again, yeah, I like the 49ers' chances against the Vikings, but as JD said, you know, that'll be a Vikings team coming off a huge win.
Well, yeah, Kirk Cousins would have the monkey off his back, and that would be a hell of a win to get.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Bakersfield. What's up, Paul? How are you, buddy?
Like they're better than? Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
Again. Hey, my question is, did anybody ask Coach Shanahan if he contemplated going for it on 4th and 1 since the Seahawks were moving the ball so well and their defense wasn't doing anything?
JD?
No, and I was there. No, nobody did ask that. And I think at that point, you know, I always say this, you know, when a game plays out the way that it did and you win it, from the 49ers point of view, like those things are never going to get asked in a win.
Right.
Now, if you lose, that it would be something that would get asked, but there's just so many different things going on that relate toward the win that.
Where the ball was at the 30? Something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I didn't even think.
At all. I didn't either.
Okay. Because. Yeah. And people went, well, look what happened in Baltimore when Lamar Jackson took him on a 6-minute drive.
That was midfield, right?
Right. But listen, you cannot give them the ball back, give them the possibility of the ball back at the 30 as opposed to their own 30.
Well, but, and yeah, and what that would set up again would have been, all right, Seattle scores and then you go score.
Right.
I'm sure there were people thinking let them score at one point because
it was getting close to that. I thought, you know, I never said do it, but yeah. It was getting close to that. And I think Shanahan, it was in his mind too at some point late. And maybe it was. I mean, I think basically.
That's tricky because
don't get the delay, I'll bet they let him go in. Now, that would only been with
50.
Something like that, but that seems like a lot. Plus, they would have only needed a field goal. Let's go to Alan. Alan's in San Jose. What's going on, Alan? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say to all the 49er fans, the people calling in and doing crazy takes, I believe they're not really Niner fans. They're like either disguised as Raider fans or Seahawks fans, but they're saying that they're Niner fans, and they try to make the Niner fans look.
What's a crazy take you heard today?
Well, mainly not today. I haven't heard too many crazy, but the last few days about Jimmy G and about, you know, the 49ers defense and how they almost lost the game and people were sad about almost losing.
You're talking about yesterday. Yeah, Alan, thanks for the call. And, you know, yesterday the 49ers – coming off one of their biggest wins of the decade and significant, obviously. And there were a lot of people, I'm worried about the defense. And
oh, my God, really?
Yeah, there was some. But you know what? I guess if you're 13-3 and you're the number one seed and now you're the favorite, I guess.
That's the kind of thing you do if you win that game in week 6. Not when you win that game with everything that's on the line.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I mean, there's nothing. Exactly. That's a game
you just need to win. You just need to win the game.
Right. And even being in position to win it and then winning it is enough. That means you've done enough to win it. So you can't nitpick a game of that importance.
We talked about it on Friday, the fact that, you know, we both thought, hey, the 49ers are the better team. We both thought they were going to go up there and win, but you were going to have to be up enough to where it was comfortable most of the game, which the entire first half, the 49ers controlled the game. So you felt like they were playing the game they needed to play. And up until that final drive by the Seahawks, they really weren't in that danger of, all right, they're going to lose, you know, because they kept answering.
Right.
But we also said, at least I did, I think you agreed with it, you're going to have to still hang on. You're going to have to win the game a couple of times And I think, the 49ers won the game by being up 13-0. They won the game, I think you could say, twice by answering after Seattle scored, and they won the game in the end. I think you can make a case the 49ers won that game four times.
Well, I do know that it was a kind of game where they probably wished or thought they should have been up more than 13-0 in the first half, because they were really good in the first half.
But like the nonsense, like 7:07 nonsense. We should have blew Seattle out. It's coming from a fan. Small turns, small play calling mistakes made it close. No, you shouldn't have blown Seattle out.
I agree. Especially up there. I mean, especially up there.
Yeah.
And that's where
you're going to play a great game to be in position to hang on late. Like,
right.
That's how it works.
Exactly. The other thing is, and I get it, it doesn't mean anything in terms of tangible data, but they hadn't won up there since 2011. So that's part of the narrative. That in and of itself makes it an important game.
And that's
kind of like winning the Super Bowl and saying, "Yeah, but we didn't really run the ball well, and you know, we're going to have to what? You won it. You did everything as well as you needed to do."
And there's an added benefit too now next year to the fact that you've already won that game, because now that's less of a thing next year. You know,
right.
Just in the big picture of, you know, let's say you go in there week 7 next year and you're 3-3. And you need a win, and
right. And
now it's not as daunting,
right?
Win or lose, but now that's not a talking point coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, man, go play another game.
Well,
to be good to win. You have to be good to win. But you know what? 49ers play well; they can win there. Why? Because you've seen Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan do it.
Right. Whereas opposed to, you got the schedule this year, and what everybody was saying was,
you don't want to play
hopefully
that game.
Hopefully, week 17 won't mean anything. And you know what? It meant more than anybody could have possibly imagined at the start of the season. You wanted the game to mean nothing, and instead it meant everything, and you won it. And now you're going in as the number one seed. So, I do believe, you know, that win is going to go a long way. I do think in the coming seasons, because you're right. When you go from a 4-12 team to 13-3, when the schedule comes out next year, I know the 49ers have some of their opponents already.
Yeah, all of them are decided.
I mean, there's not a game where you say, "Oh, they can't win that." You don't. 13-3 teams don't say that. 4-12 teams say that.
They've got a nice road schedule next year in terms.
Do you know
of
just, it off the top of your head?
I do know the road. I know the opponents. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want?
Yeah, I do. Actually,
do you want just the road opponents? Or yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. So the three division opponents, and they go to New Orleans,
okay,
and they go to New England, and
that's
the Jets,
okay,
and the Giants and the Cowboys.
Jets.
So it's two trips to New York, a trip to New England.
Cowboys. All right. So, okay,
two trips to New York, Dallas, New Orleans.
Oh, okay. So the Eagles are coming. To San Francisco next year, and the Redskins are coming
correct.
Next year. Okay,
yep, and the Bills, and the Dolphins.
Interesting, because the other
one that we left out is Green Bay. Green Bay is the other one that comes here because of the two place to finish games.
Gotcha. 49ers went up to Seattle in Week 17 with the division and a bye on the line, and covered a 3-point. I mean, that's incredible. I would agree. I mean, that's as big a regular season win. You remember off the top of your head, maybe the biggest regular season win under Harbaugh? Was there?
They went to New England and won on a Sunday night.
I remember that.
With Kaepernick, and they had a big lead. And
but that may have been
mid-season
or something of that. You know what I mean? I mean, where you won a game late in the year that sets something up. First of all, there's no way that there's a right. I mean, it's almost impossible for a regular season game to exist that meant more than that game Sunday. You almost can't conceive of one unless it's you win, you make the playoffs, you lose, you miss the playoffs. I guess that would be a little bit more, bigger. Dave in Pleasanton. What's going on, Dave? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year's, boys.
Same to you.
I just wanted to say that the excitement level should be sky high. It shouldn't be anything about how close the game was, that which was a great game. But what I'm looking at is everybody's going to get healthy. We're going to get Tart back. We're probably going to get D Ford back. And
right.
I'm not worried about Seattle in our house at all with those two guys coming back, with the healthy Sanders, healthy Kittle, and a possibility of Quan Alexander coming back in the next game.
Right.
Our excitement level should be through the roof, guys. That's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
That's getting a little more real, by the way, the Quan Alexander part, which I kind of dismissed, maybe 2 weeks ago or whatever when Kendrick Bourne said it. I think it was Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, on his Instagram.
Yeah, but it's looking a little more real.
Well, he said it on the radio station? Kendrick Bourne said it on this radio station also. I remember when he was on with Damon. I was on the morning show, That was a great interview. Actually, he's a good interview, Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
I like him. I like Emmanuel Sanders. Where's he gone? Emmanuel Sanders' role's lessened a little bit.
Well, Deebo Samuel's role's gone
up. That's true.
Can't throw it to everybody.
I don't want to hear it because I'm on the same page there. You can't have four guys averaging 30 a game.
You got to have 10. Deebo's got to have 10 catches for 150.
Well, you know what's funny is I was listening
Sanders
to the afternoon show.
Sanders got to have 8 and 150.
I was listening to the afternoon show.
Kittle's got to have 15 and 200.
So I got him winning 58-3 then.
And
58-3 over whoever they
Tevin Coleman's got to have 5 carries for 80, and Mostert's got to have 10 carries for 50.
Well, the problem is Mostert, if he's going to carry 10 times for 60 yards, well, then he's got to get more than 10 carries, is the argument. And the chicken or the egg says, well, he doesn't rush for 6 yards an attempt if he's rushing 18 times a game.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's one of those where I'm actually going to trust Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
you can second guess this or question that, something like that. And we talked about that before the season, too. A big part of the 49ers' success is going to be how he decides which combinations of players should be on the field at the same time.
Well, and the other thing is, Shanahan sees something with Mostert and Breida and Coleman that is the reason Mostert's emerged. I mean, clearly, right now, that's the guy that Shanahan trusts more than any of the other running backs. Let's go to, how about this, Emmanuel Sanders. 17 games this year, maybe that's why he's 32 years old, and he's in his 10th season. He played 17 games this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. All right, we come back. Have the Warriors targeted the superstar that they're going to try to go after? That's what some people are saying, that they may have found the guy to try to pair with Curry, Clay, and Draymond. That's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. It's brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealer. The Warriors going to make a move, and if so, when? And again, sponsored by your Northern California Toyota dealer.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Bonte and Guru taking the day off. I'm in with JD. 12 and a half hours of the decade remaining, and then it's New Year's Eve. And you got plans? You got action?
Yeah, I'm going to be here with Whitey Gleason at 2 o'clock, and then we got Warriors Live at 2:30. And
tip off at 4.
So we'll be back on probably about 7.
So you might get out of here at 8.
Yeah, if it was a home game, maybe 7:15. But about 7, yeah, be done at 8 and be in the city. So, yeah, I haven't figured it out yet exactly. I'm giving today to, as I've done throughout this decade, I'm a giver. I'm giving the day to the people and the employer.
Yeah, it's kind of like I am. I'm almost through the holiday season without having taken a vacation day.
That's pretty sharp.
I'm a hoarder. Yeah.
But I'm going to end up in the city, I think.
Okay. I don't mind working the week between Christmas and New Year's because it's pretty mellow. And in fact, today was the hardest day because the boss is in. He decided to come in today, so I saw him.
That was a surprise.
Yeah. So that always...
But the thing is, when you're a boss, the same thing kind of applies, right? It's like
He didn't want to see me today?
Well, no. Yeah, if these are the half, you know, oh, you know what?
That's true.
These half holidays that aren't really holidays, I would come in on those and, you know, maybe get some work done in kind of a loose environment without everybody yapping at you.
And most important, you can hold it over whoever your boss is heading. Yeah, I was in here on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I didn't punt that day. That's not a vacation day. It really should be a vacation day.
It should be.
Or, you know, a holiday.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. Story in The Athletic is saying the Golden State Warriors are monitoring the Karl Anthony Towns situation in Minnesota. By the way, he's not playing. He hasn't played lately. He's hurt. You said something before the show that I thought is maybe the most important part of this, and it's, I'll just paraphrase and then throw it to you. Whether it's Karl Anthony Towns or not, you think after reading Ethan Sherwood Strauss's story that Warriors are going to get somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really do. And I don't know who and I don't know how. And I know that's, you know, I know everybody's going to try to figure it out. And that's going to be part of the fun of the next few months here.
Right.
But I think the Warriors have a belief that they will be able to, and their first priority in my mind is going to be trying to get some kind of young emerging star at the worst to add to this mix. Now, I don't know if that means D'Angelo Russell and a pick and maybe a couple of picks are going the other way.
Right.
But they're going to try to get better as quickly as they possibly can.
So the Minnesota Timberwolves got off to a pretty good start, and now they're bad again. There was that report before the season that Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, and D'Angelo Russell want to play together or talked about it. Let's throw that away for now. Let's just pretend that's not part of the equation because they don't really have control over that. I definitely see a scenario in which Minnesota's like, you know what? It ain't happening with Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns has more value. Let's start throwing Karl Anthony Towns' name out there. The question then becomes, what does it cost you to get a Karl Anthony Towns if you're the Warriors? And to me, the bare minimum is D'Angelo Russell and their pick this year. And that's the bare minimum, and I think Minnesota turns that down because I think they're going to get some good – I think they – they'll get deals that they perceive to be better than that.
What I think that deal looks like.
All right.
I think that deal would look like D'Angelo Russell and the Warriors pick in next year's draft, 2020 draft, and probably a guy like Eric Paschal, and probably another first round pick down the line.
Yeah. That's getting closer. That is getting closer.
Yeah, and maybe you have to take somebody back that Minnesota wants out on.
Right.
You know, because now they're going to be in a little bit. You know what? Maybe you like this if you're the Warriors, but maybe they say, you know what? We're not really feeling Covington anymore.
Sure.
You know, or we don't need him if we're going to go this different direction. You're going to take him back too, but you're going to take, you know, you're going to take Gorgie Dang back too. Or, you know, it's just like you're going to do something for us in addition to the compensation.
So I've been talking whenever the Warriors come up and we talk about next year, you know, I'm a little different than you. I'm of the belief that they gotta get a guy that they can put into that big three who becomes the fourth. So
that would Towns be good enough?
Yes, Karl Anthony Towns. I think what I said originally was they need to find a player who's better than Curry, Clay, or Draymond, and I didn't mean better, but I mean somebody that. It's got some heft. Who's somebody that
may not be on their level in terms of what they've already done.
But Towns fits. Absolutely.
Can get into that level in their career.
Absolutely. Karl Anthony Towns would fit. And I guess what I'm saying is, if you're telling me the Warriors next year are going to have Curry, Clay, Towns, Draymond, let's say Looney, and that's about it. That's because Russell will be gone. Paschal will be gone. Who else am I thinking of? Do they have it? Maybe, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, how good's that team, JD?
That team's pretty good. That team, and again, you still have your exception as far, you know, you have your mid-level exception, you'd have your Iguodala trade exception, so you've got
right.
the ability to add there as well, and you've got veteran minimums. That's a 50-plus win team right there.
I think it's 50.
Yeah, that's 50 pushing 55.
So would the Minnesota Timberwolves have any interest in Draymond Green?
They might.
In Draymond Green.
They might, but you can't, to the 408's point on the Chilton Autobody text line, that doesn't mean it's Draymond Green and picks for Towns. And
no, and, it'd probably be Draymond and Pascal.
No, it'd be Draymond and Russell.
Well, then you got to get somebody
and then,
back.
And, I mean, and then you'd be taking somebody back. Like, it wouldn't, I know the
like
money.
Jeff Teague.
I know the money. Well, Jeff Teague's going to be a free agent. So you'd, yeah. So he'd be, unless you're going to do this deal during the year.
Right, I'm talking about, so they're going to need
it's not,
a
there,
high payroll
there isn't
guy.
A scenario that exists where it's Draymond and a pick get you Karl Anthony Towns. That Minnesota's not doing that.
Well, what about, would you do Draymond and D'Angelo Russell?
That might be.
And two first round, and this pick and another pick.
That'd be more like
for
it.
Karl Anthony Towns and
Covington.
Whoever your favorite player is on the team other than Wiggins.
Yeah, and Covington. Yeah.
Would you do that if you're the Warriors?
You'd have to think about it. I wouldn't want to, but you'd have to think about it.
That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. And
because
that's a tough one.
Your DNA, your belief that your championship DNA can get right back to it next year with an infusion of talent hinges on Draymond Green being a part of it, in my mind. So that's why.
So without Draymond Green,
you lose a bit of yourself. You lose a bit of that. You lose a little bit of that. You know what? These three guys can get you to a certain level because those three guys wouldn't be around anymore. So you lose a little. You lose a little bit of your soul. You lose a little bit of your championship DNA to maybe add talent. And you know what? Maybe that's worth it because you're getting a player that you think can be a third franchise type player back.
707, I think you guys are way overvaluing Karl Anthony Towns. It won't take as much as you think. I question his heart and defensive play.
Doesn't matter.
I kind of agree with you there. I mean, I get it. Like, there's
like you're not
conventional wisdom is he's a little soft.
But you're not getting you're not going to have to pay less because of that as a team that wants to acquire it. You're
correct.
Not going to have to pay. You're still that may be true, but you're still going to have to pay the full premium to get him.
Right. Right, because
like, it may mean he's not worth as much, but you're still going to pay more.
I mean, the bottom line is, if I'm the Warriors, I want Karl Anthony Towns because he is young and he's talented, and I get it. He's like all these young players. He's like Brandon Ingram, that they haven't done anything yet, so their reputations are starting to take a hit. But you got to believe if you're the Warriors, you get him onto this team, and now he becomes maybe not necessarily a better player in terms of stats, but he starts to learn how to win, and he becomes part of a winning, I guess, environment. And honestly, I'm with you. I said this before the show, and I didn't do a good job explaining it to you, but I think the idea of Karl Anthony Towns is actually better than the reality of getting Karl Anthony Towns. Like, I think on the one hand, if you found out in 3 days the Warriors have acquired Karl Anthony Towns for whatever, D'Angelo Russell,
sure,
two first rounders, or they've acquired Karl Anthony Towns and Covington for Draymond and D'Angelo Russell, that would sound really good. And now you start saying, well, we got Steph, Clay, and Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that's a ball game. Now you got a ball game. There's no doubt about it. But then you got to figure out,
well, that's what I mean,
how great you really are.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You wouldn't like, well,
it's still going to take you a year.
Sure. Whereas it's a completely different starting point. It's not. Whereas if you have Draymond still, then I'm of the belief that you have a certain level you can achieve just by having Curry, Clay, and Draymond.
Right.
So having those three plus some, that's where you maximize your success.
Listen, if you're taking something away
and you're adding Towns, well, you're not going to nearly be as good,
right,
as you would if you had both,
right,
of them.
If they go into next season, let's say, and they've acquired Karl Anthony Towns, and I don't know anything about the team other than They have Clay, Steph, Draymond, and Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, I think if you're the Warriors, at that point you have to say, would we give up everything, you know, anything and everything to start with those four? And I think the answer might be yes.
I think the answer would be yes.
I kind of do too.
I think the answer would be yes. I think they would do whatever they could to make that happen, to have those four, and then you figure it out.
Yeah,
you have those four.
I think I'd do that too.
And then you use your trade exception at that point, and you use your mid-level, and you're almost building it a little bit the way you had to build it before when you had Durant.
Right.
But you'd rather do that and feel like you're almost a lock to win 55 games than try to go about it the other way.
Right. No, I think I would, if I'm Bob Myers or Joe Lacob, and they say, you know, obviously if you're the Warriors and you have interest in Karl Anthony Towns, you want to get him in here with Clay, Draymond, and Steph. Now, the chances are Minnesota's going to want to get Draymond. Or, you know, if not Draymond, certainly Pascal and their second favorite player
that team. To me, if you're saying, we're role-playing here and you're calling me and I'm Minnesota.
Okay.
Okay? And you say, all right, you know, Towns is on the table. I'm saying to you, if I'm Minnesota, okay, D'Lo, Pascal, 2020 first-round pick, and another first-round pick. That's a starting point for a deal.
But see, here's the thing.
That's a starting point.
Here's the thing. If I'm Minnesota, okay, hey, Karl Anthony Towns is on the table, and you say, all right, we'll give you D'Angelo. No. I'm saying no. First of all, I'm saying certainly not yet. What else do we have out there with the 29 other teams? Because I don't.
And that's fair.
And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Minnesota is a team that's like, you know what? We like D'Angelo Russell. We think he is the point guard of the future. Okay, so now it's like you're willing to take Russell, but that's not enough.
See, to me, Minnesota would want, where you find common ground, Minnesota would want Russell and Towns, and they start over at that point with those two and rid themselves from some others. Because those two are friends. To me, they would love to move on essentially from Wiggins, have Russell be their second star, if you will, or second emerging star, second potential star, let's say, and then add from there in their own way.
And see, I'm thinking if I'm Minnesota and I can get Russell and Draymond for Karl Anthony Towns.
See, Draymond doesn't appeal as much to me if I'm Minnesota, but go ahead, I'll let you.
But at that point, do you say we got Russell, Wiggins, and Draymond? That's a playoff team if we fill in around them.
Yeah,
is
maybe.
It? Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. You're saying Russell. Yeah, they'd have Russell. What, Wiggins, Covington maybe?
Yeah, throw Covington on there, Koji.
Green and Towns.
Yeah, somebody like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And maybe they think they can, because they haven't made the playoffs in over a decade now. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, they made it 2 years
ago. Once in the last like 12 years. Yeah. So I would think that they want to try to get
2018.
Is that not last year, the year before, right? Stein and JD, yes, get Towns with Curry, Thompson, and Green getting older in terms of their timeline. Well, see, that's the other thing about Towns is he would be a nice follow up to when Steph, Draymond, and
he'd almost give you not a new window, but maybe not a new window to be a championship team, but a new window to where if he is the kind of player you think he can be, a new window to be a good team with him as the best player eventually.
Well, I mean, listen. Yes. I mean, listen, I've been
But he
skeptical.
Isn't that player yet, though. See, that's the
but,
one that if you're...
But he might be on the Warriors.
Right, but what I'm saying is that's a separate conversation. Like, you're bringing him in to be with these three guys, right?
Right.
But you're also maybe bringing him in because he could be the best player on another, you know...
In 3 years.
5 years from now,
right.
even.
No, I'm
And you could win 50
there.
Games. But he isn't to that point yet where, you know, if it's him and...
Oh, I see.
You know
and
what
an
I'm
aging
saying?
Curry and an...
Yeah,
a- okay.
or it's just him and
sure.
maybe those guys aren't around. Because
right.
he is still young enough to where that's the case.
Well, listen, I've been not skeptical, but I've been a little doubtful of how the Warriors are going to get back into the mix. And when I say mix, I don't mean seventh playoff. I mean, look,
hell, they could have been the seventh playoff team this year.
They might have been able
to, hurt.
The way it looks, especially if they would have started playing better. But I think the Warriors want to get back to in the mix to win a title, even if they're not the favorite. See, the Warriors, they're not going to win a title as a seventh seed. It's not going to happen. But if they're like the third best team in the West, then they've got a shot like anybody else. So what I'm getting at is, if I'm the Warriors and I go into next year, Curry, Clay, Draymond, Karl Anthony Towns, that might be a title team. Or that might be a title core. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get some players around them, but that's the best thing I've heard so far, how to get that player that's going to elevate the Warriors.
I think that team would you drop that team into the Western Conference right now, I think they would be at worst the three seed.
Now, what do you think about this? If you think that the T-Wolves are going to take anything less than Klay Thompson for Towns, you're out of your mind.
Okay.
I mean, you might be right, 925. You very well might be.
That won't be a deal.
Exactly.
That won't be a deal.
Exactly. Because that's off the table for me.
Yep.
And I think it's probably off the table for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Look, the Warriors aren't going to split up Klay and Steph right now.
No.
They're very unlikely to split up Draymond and those two right now. So the Warriors' goal, I don't think there's any doubt, JD, is to get a player and maintain those three guys.
You want a guy that, you want a Towns, you want a Bradley Beal, you want somebody that plugs in and either is a perfect fit with the other three, meaning Steph, Clay, and Draymond, or you want another guy that could be almost a fourth star that could potentially take it over, you know, down the line 4 or 5 years.
Right. I'd probably look something like it would look Draymond and D'Angelo Russell for Towns, Georgie Dang, and Covington. That would work, essentially. 27-54.
Wait, run that back again?
It would Draymond and Russell,
okay,
for Towns, Georgie Dang, and Covington.
Yeah.
Those
salaries
would work.
And the Warriors' first-round pick.
Correct.
Yeah.
At least.
Maybe more.
I would do that if I were the Warriors.
You would do Russell, Draymond, two first-round picks.
Oh, I forgot Draymond is in there. See, I don't know. Yeah,
For Towns, Covington.
And Dang.
And, yeah, Georgie Dang, because you have to take him back to make sure. Maybe that's
correct.
Only one first-round pick, just the next year's pick. Because you're taking Georgie Dang back.
I don't know if I'm doing it.
I'd have to really consider it. Because
see,
it's
Carl
like
Anthony Towns ain't no joke.
But it's the same.
Either,
it's the same conversation you have to ask yourself. This is the question you'd have to ask yourself. When you lose Kevin Durant, right? What was the best means for the Warriors to add a really talented player when they lost Kevin Durant? Really, the only means.
The way they did it.
The way they did it.
Sure.
You have to ask yourself: is the only way to get a player of Karl Anthony Towns' talent to throw Draymond Green in there?
It may be.
And if that's the case, you really got to consider it, and you almost have to do it.
775. Am I crazy to want Wiggins more than Karl Anthony Towns? I don't think crazy.
I don't know. Not crazy.
I mean, if you said who do you want, I'm going to take Karl Anthony Towns
for sure. And
but
again, I
it's
think
not
who,
crazy
to me. Who would Minnesota want to move Wiggins? To me, you would want, like, if I'm Minnesota, I'm calling the Warriors and saying Wiggins and Covington for Russell. I mean, obviously there'd have to be more going the
there'd
other
have
way.
To be a pick too.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, Russell makes like 24, 25, something.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but Covington's making 11, and Wiggins is making basically what Russell's making,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. So the Warriors would have to throw somebody in. But
yeah.
I wonder what other teams think of Draymond Green. That's the other. I mean, there's so much we don't know. I mean, for all we know, Minnesota's like, we have no interest in Draymond Green.
I think
Green.
There'd be a lot of teams that would want Draymond Green.
I don't know if Minnesota
good teams.
Would. Yeah, good. Minnesota's not there yet. Draymond would not want to go to Minnesota.
But the teams that, if you're the Warriors, would want Draymond Green to me the most would be the teams that you don't want to trade him to, because then you're going to wind up facing him. right? Like,
well, yes. If you think that trading Draymond Green, I mean, you better trade Draymond.
Like, what if
you better have a plan? If you trade Draymond Green, you either think what you have right away can win it, or now we're set up 2 years from now to really be.
This might be a bad really example. I apologize for jumping in on you there.
No.
This might be a bad example, but what if you end up sending? You know, what if Draymond Green just winds up like on the Blazers, right?
Okay.
And all of a sudden it's Lillard and McCollum, and they're still playing well. Maybe this year is a one-off year for them. But Draymond Green's on the Blazers, and you've got somebody else, and now you got to play him in a playoff series with the other two, and they go get some guy.
Nurkic is healthy.
Like the teams that would really benefit the most from Draymond are the teams that you probably wouldn't want to trade Draymond to.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I agree with that.
Unless you think he's done. And you know, I'm going to give the Warriors credit for knowing where Draymond is more than any other team in his career. I think he's still got action. I don't think he's going to be as consistent as he's been in the past.
Yeah.
But I think
he's got
once playoffs come, he'll know what he's doing. He'll know what he's doing in a big way. Now we're getting some ideas here. But the 480 says, we won't appreciate Draymond's contributions to this team until he's gone. I don't know. I sure appreciate his. You know, listen, here's my thought on Draymond Green. I mean, they don't win championships without him. They don't. But in terms of the talent that they have, he's the one that could go. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's the guy who he would be the guy who makes the most sense to trade of Curry, Clay, and Draymond.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Especially if you're taking a big back.
Right, right. You know, the question is, and here's the thing we don't know. Let's just say hypothetically you trade your pick. Let's say you trade Draymond and the number one pick to Minnesota for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that wouldn't be enough for me.
For Minnesota. No doubt. But let's just say hypothetically, because they're
okay.
And here's the thing about the reality might be worse than the people would be like, we got Karl Anthony Towns? Woo. And then he gets here, and then you start realizing, you know, he's a good player, but he is a little bit soft. And I don't know if you can win with him if he's got to have as big a role as we need him to have.
And you've still got Russell.
I forgot about him.
Because you didn't throw Russell in. Or did you throw Russell in?
I did not throw Russell in.
Yeah, you did not throw Russell in. But then you got Russell and Towns and Kerr. And then, like, I don't think that works.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
I don't think that works.
I think you're right on that. All right. Here's what's coming up next. We got Adam Kaplan. Adam Kaplan is our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. Going to get back to some 49ers talk. Don't forget the 49ers. 2 weeks from Saturday. What is that? 11 days, January 11th, a 1:35 start against team to be determined. But coming up next, Adam Kaplan, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, welcome back. Matt Stein, that's John Dickinson in, and Bonte and Guru are out. And let's go out, our main man, Adam Kaplan. Adam's brought to you by California Bank of Commerce, the premier business bank. Adam, of course, an NFL insider for 95.7 The Game. Adam, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Guys, good to talk to you. Yeah, I'm happy that the Niners get a bye here and get some health back, which is going to help them getting a couple guys who had not been able to play lately. Unfortunately, lost Julian Taylor. I know they really liked. By the way, it's another ACL injury for him. He had one at Temple, but getting that bye is very, very key. There's no doubt about it. And getting some rest and then getting back to work next week.
Obviously, we're trying to figure out who they'll play in the first round. Eagles lost to the Seahawks earlier this year. What are the what odds do you give the Eagles to win that game at home?
All right, so the Niners will play either the Eagles, Seahawks, or Vikings next Saturday. in Santa Clara. Now, when we get to the Eagles, that was a low-scoring game. Russell Wilson did not play well. He missed wide-open receivers. I would say this. The Eagles are so beat up physically, and I give them credit for their four-game winning streak. Really, not against a team with a winning record. The best team they played in that four-game streak was the Cowboys. But the fact of the matter is the Seahawks match up fairly well. The biggest issue they have now is the Seahawks are down their top two running backs. Talk of the Seahawks, they thought Marshawn looked pretty good. They were happy with the way that he performed. In the 2 days of practice last week, he did a good job. But these know Chris Carson. Chris Carson, one of the better young running backs in the league, unfortunately broke his hip, so he's done for the season. I give the Eagles a puncher's chance here. I think, in fact, Las Vegas, the line has changed. The Eagles actually open up as a small favorite. Now the Seahawks are a small favorite. But if I had to pick a team there, I think it's going to go right down the wire. The thing about the Eagles is their defense plays significantly better at home for whatever reason. That's the side of the ball where they're healthy. They're down, really, from week one, six starters on offense. That's hard to overcome, guys. And to me, against a better defense, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I guess and that's what I guess we want to know out here is, you know, the 49ers are getting healthier. They're going to be healthier than they've been in 2 weeks. Do the Eagles have a chance to get healthier, or are they playing with what they have?
Well, talking to the Eagles, Miles Sanders, they're very hopeful that he'll be able to play. He has a low ankle sprain. The testing went well for him. They knew, as soon as he hurt his ankle, they knew it was a low ankle sprain, not a high ankle, but that's what the testing showed. But the big one, though, okay, the big one, and we'll see when we talk next week if the Eagles win, but the big one, I'm told by two people, and I've been telling people this is probably going to happen. The Eagles are probably going to have DeSean Jackson bet, still the NFL's best elite deep threat, back next week in practice, and they really do believe he'll be able to play next weekend if they have to play their Niners. Obviously, if they win, that's where they're playing. So that's kind of what they could either play. They'd either play at the Niners or at the Packers. And there would be one of three teams, the Eagles, Seahawks, and the Vikings, that would play at the Niners next weekend.
Adam, if you're the 49ers, do you want Seattle again, or do you want to avoid Seattle again, having to play back-to-back games, essentially?
Well, sure. Of the three teams they could play, I would rather play Philly because they're so beat up physically. They just don't match up well. I think the Eagles match up better against the Seahawks. The Vikings, see, here's the interesting thing about the Vikings. No NFL team plays fewer three-receiver sets than the Vikings. They're all about the run game, and Dalvin Cook is going to play this week. He'll be in the starting lineup, back from a shoulder injury. I gave him a chance. The game is on the road. The Vikings are not a good road team. They're much better at home. But look, if they get the run game going and they have a good defense, they could keep this game close. I mean, last year, we saw it last year. They had a good run game when Cook was healthy. But the Saints, I'll tell you what, right now I have to turn in my picks. I'm going to pick the Saints and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's kind of where I'm at on
both conferences.
Yeah. By the way, for the record, I did pick the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl. Week one, I do radio in eight markets each week, and I went on record week one saying I had it the Eagles and Chiefs, so I'm going to be wrong on one of them, though the Eagles are technically alive. But I think the Chiefs are really, really poised to make a run in the AFC.
Adam, how much would the narrative change on Minnesota if Minnesota wins that game, right? Because a lot of it is, well, Kirk Cousins can't do this, and I know they like to play a certain way, but if they win that game, then everybody's looking at them differently, right?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.